Well, hello.
Hi, guys.
We are back.
And better than ever, bitch.
That's right.
No, I don't know about you, but I forget what episode it is. What episode? 14.
14.
Yeah, because we made the very silly mistake after we recorded it that we should have done a Friday the 13th based episode on the 13th episode. Because it's simply not going to work any other time ever.
But isn't it Friday the 13th this Friday?
Oh, we should have done the Friday the 13th now. Not a brain cell to be found. Nowhere. See, you could have done that. But what we are doing it on is coming off the heat of Gay Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, which is Pride, and for us, UK Pride, and for us specifically, Manchester Pride. So we thought we would gay it up big time, get the glitter out. Unicorn city, bitch. Yeah. And so I can't even speak. What is it that we're actually doing it on, though, however?
So it's just like LGBTQIAA representation within horror genres across films, TV, whatever. We're going to just discuss.
Yeah, and what we thought.
Queer culture and horror.
Yeah, and what we spoke about is because the horror genre is so popular within gays, so I am certified, believe that's like the Bible, that the gays and the metalheads are just make up like the majority of the fans.
I think it's kind of like, because you see like a lot of yourselves in like these films and like these outcast sort of things, and it's the story's always, even though it's about horror, the root of the story always kind of like speaks out to you on some sort of level.
And there's always been, which is so silly to say, but there's always that thing in this where there's something so cool and powerful about the final girl, because they have, like yourself, especially if you're a little super gay boy, that you have all the masculine traits of, you know, what you want to be while still looking like really hot.
You want to be the badass bitch.
You want to be like any of the final girls in a film, because they have that, like, and I'm doing with the bunny ears, that macho attitude. We wanted to channel all that.
There's just, like, I've said it before, there's just something about just a badass bitch in a horror movie.
100%. And I think that because what we spoke about, like, because there is such a misrepresentation of, like, the gays in horror films, like, I'm sorry, but there's great representation in TV and stuff like that, but as a gay community, let's be honest, our representation is at a
bleak. But before we really dive into all that, let's just do like a fun, quick little game of fuck, Mary Kill.
Fuck, Mary Kill.
Because we like to get nasty, Miss Jackson.
If you're a real Christian, you don't fuck until you're married, and if you kill, well, you're going straight to Hale Beach. So, I think, do you want to take it away? Go on then.
First, I'm going to go first.
Yeah, go on first.
Okay, so, fuck, Mary Kill. Predator. Leprechaun. And that one-eyed thing from Pan's Labyrinth. And it's chasing the little girl and with the little hands, it's like,
his eyeballs. On the hands. Well, if you were to like play around with the guy with the hands, he's got the long, slim fingers. So he might be, and he's like, you know, he's not a talker.
Yeah.
He doesn't really speak.
Yeah.
So he's kind of, he could be like really super sensual. So I think I'll put him in the fuck category.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. 100%. It's because the options are so great.
Yeah.
And I'm so aroused by every single one of them. It's just so difficult. Who's that? So we have Leprechaun and Predator. Oh, you'd have to marry Predator, wouldn't you? Because he can turn invisible. You could like send him like.
And he's got the body. You know, he's got the body
underneath that fishnet. He's wearing fishnet. Come on. Yeah. Now. He's with the times. He can turn invisible. It'd be perfectly useful if you want to rob somewhere.
Imagine that big Predator dick.
I would imagine if you take off. I keep the mask on.
That's his face. There ain't no mask, Maury.
Just that little weird vagina mouth with teeth. I think I'd marry him for sure.
Imagine that, like, eating you out. The little, like.
You would have a completely chewed out hole at the back. It would look like Tremors 4. Yeah, it's literally. You'd be a hollow hole. You'd look like Justin Long at the end of Jeepers Creepers.
Oh my god, you would.
Just the front skin. It's just hollow underneath. And of course, kill Leprechaun, because two Irish people in a relationship for me just doesn't get. See ya in the band. Too small. Too small. That was a good one. That was weird.
with some weird sexual fantasy lived out.
Thank you.
Now, mine for you is
Jacob Crowley from Hatchet.
I gave you that last time.
Did I? Did yeah. you? Okay,
Jacob. No, we can, yeah, but I'll keep
it. Oh, no, oh, yeah. It's odd staying on because I can't think of another.
Sure.
Jacob Goodnight. Now, this is a killer from, as you know, See No Evil.
Yeah.
And also Bob, the zombie with intelligence from Day of the Dead. You know, the guy's chained up in the wall and he's really good with the shapes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's really difficult because they're all so hot.
They're all. Right, okay. So I'm going to kill the zombie because, like, it's already dead and it's going to stink. So I don't want to live with that. Sure. I don't want to fuck, like, dead flesh.
No cheese.
Do you know what I mean? No. It's not. And I don't think the zombies can get it up because they're not alive. There's no blood flow. So they can't. We're going to do with a limp dick. Nothing. And then.
It's kind of weird one,
as well. Right, I'm gonna fuck Hatchet because, like, the face. I don't want to see the face ever again. Like, I'm just gonna fuck it. Like, it's at these just like a hit it and quit it. Like, I don't need to see you ever again. It was a mistake, a real drunken mistake. Sorry about it. Don't talk to me ever again. See, and then marry the See No Evil guy because, you know, he's got a house.
Yeah,
he owns his own house.
It's a big house hotel extravaganza.
We know he's human. At least true. He's, you know.
He has a lot of mama issues.
He's probably packing serious heat because he's that Kane. Tall as well.
Yeah, it's Kane from WWE. Too, yeah. So he's, you know. He's
so you know he can, like, throw you around a room.
Oh, absolutely. Throw you through a wall, out the window.
You know, and if I don't like it with that hotel, I can just, you know, kill the mum because she's annoying. She and then, did. Yeah, she did.
And it's a hotel, so just vacate to another room where you just, you know.
If I don't like him, if I'm not happy in the marriage, I can just kill him because he's a killer, so he's going to care about him. And then I've got the hotel to myself. I can, like, do it all up with their money and, you know, winning.
Just winning. I love how on topic that was to what we're going to talk about. Sarcasm. A healthy dose. Who's the ugliest people that we can think of, and let's talk about fucking them, marrying them, and killing them.
And how big the dicks are. Yeah,
yummy.
So, let's get into some more seriousness.
All that gay representation.
All of it.
Lack of misrepresentation of.
Well, see, when we were discussing, like, about what we're gonna do today and stuff, and what to kind of put it on, I was more interested in going back and looking at like the history
of
like and how far we've come and how far we've like got left.
Are you going to take me to school, bitch?
Yeah, I'm going to take you to school. Hey. So, I actually didn't know this, but you probably might have already known this, but we're like doing film at uni and stuff. So, this starts off pretty much so from the year, like, 1934 to 1967, there was, Hollywood was, like, shaped by, this thing called Hayes Code. You know what Hayes Code is?
Not familiar. Educate me down here.
So basically, Hayes Code was, kind of, like, a set of rules that the film industry had.
Okay, where
basically, it was to keep movies from, like, corrupting the people who watch, and only correct styles, that's quotations, correct style, like, styles of life could be presented. And, like, there was no film, like, to be produced that will, you know, lower the moral standards. And because at that time, homosexuality was, you know, well, at 1934 was very much illegal.
Yeah,
And not the desired lifestyle choice. You know, so, like, cinematic queers were just kind of, like, pushed underground and just reduced to, like, subtext. And, like, so from, like, you know, the 1930s to 1940s, it was very much kind of, like, really heavily relied on, like, sort of, like, monster representation and that kind of, like, the subtext of, like,
the symbolic meaning
and all that kind of jazz. You know, and it was very heavily monsters, you know, the Frankenstein sort of thing. And the queers were just kind of like left. If you can find them, you'll find them.
Yeah. And if you're going to put them in your film, they die a horrible death. Are completely.
But the funny thing is, though, like, reading this, like, in the sort of like the the early years in this sort of timeline, you know, a lot of the directors were like queer, like lesbian, gay, or not really much trans, but like either lesbian or gay, and they were kind of using their kind of queerness in their films, but I like, had to do it like sort of indirectly, and that's what you kind of like, you kind of see a lot. And I think then when the kind of the 50s came around, you kind of, it moved to more like kitschy sort of monsters. And looking at the timeline, you kind of, you definitely see how like the era and decade that you're in really reflects on what you're seeing on the screen. So at the time in the 50s, they were kind of like battling with this sort of like all American persona, and it was very much like a, if you're not us, if you're not seen as the typical norm, then you're the other, you're the freak, you're the monsters. So that's kind of where it was going. Scout.
Dogging away.
You know, that's kind of, it was the sort of like the us and them mentality. So, so again, you were still very much the gays and the queerness was kind of like pushed off to the monster side of it. But then sort of like in the late 50s, it was kind of like laying the foundation for like, you know, a new era. There were, Marxism was kind of like, was just this thing that everyone had just heard about. It's, that was like the end thing. So like people were kind of like starting to like fight back. And, you know, there was the civil rights, and especially like the gay civil rights movement was just starting to like pick up at that point. So like you're starting to see like a bit of a, you know, a bit of a change.
Which is crazy because it's something that you never think of, and everything you're saying, like, you know, like Marxism, things like that. But the things you're saying and the context of what you're saying is, it's amazing to hear, because film itself shapes itself over what's come before, what's put down the blueprints, and everything else almost follows and elaborates. Now, to know that, like, even simple things as there being a gay director, a lesbian director, and that projects onto screen as monster in black and white, in that, because even in, as you said, in film that I've done the studies, it's, you always look at the symbolic meanings of why is Dracula in that big old castle, you know, just for example, that sort of thing. Why is there always the same sort of tropes that repeat itself? You need a monster, you need its creator who's broken, you need its hideout, its home where it's most comfortable, and it's always, you know, and it's always depicted really over the top and super surrealism. And I think now in context of what you're saying, it's really interesting to know.
Well, it's definitely sort of like,
see it, like,
it's definitely true when they say like life imitates, no, art imitates life, because you really do get to see what's kind of indirectly what's going on in the world today. You will be seeing it on screen, because like that's the way filmmakers kind of like make sense of like the world and really what's going on in the ideals at that particular time translates onto screen. So you're only really seeing what people want you to see, basically. So then when you kind of like move into the 60s, that's when there's no more Hays Code, and they kind of opt for the rating system. So that's when like the rating of film starts to kick in. You know, and the 60s, the kind of, that's the start of sort of like the sexual revolution. So I think there is a bit of a shift in the 60s, and then towards, you know, the back end of it, that's when you've got like the Stonewall riots. So like things are happening, especially with, you know, with the whole, with the queer movement and like the LGBTQ plus
gay community. Yeah, of course,
things are starting to happen. You know, and in the 60s there was the very first ever lesbian character who was a real lesbian in a film, and it wasn't a big to do. It was The Haunting. I don't know if there's a remake with Catherine Zeta Jones in it as well. And so that was the very first lesbian, outly lesbian character in a film.
The main character?
Yes.
Because I know that, it's interesting to say that, because that's one of the films, because there's so much meaning behind it. And there's a scene in particular where she's in her bedroom, and if it's the film I'm thinking of, it's in black and white, she's in her room, and it's so simple and it's so effective, but around the room, there's just bangs, and they're getting louder, and you can see, and we looked at it in the way where she's like jittery, she's uncomfortable, she's like unsettled in her own room.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of subtext behind that. So again, bitch, every day is a learning day. Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, actually. Yeah, and then sort of in the 60s, like there's a shift where like horror kind of moved onto making a stronger emphasis of actually the human evils that are out there. So with the, you know, with the psycho, and you know, they're kind of moving towards that direction. They're kind of like leaning less towards monsters and Frankensteins and ooky spookies and whatever, and more toward, and you know, and more towards like, because at that time as well, you had things like Bewitched on TV, where it was kind of like putting like these spooky people as like your neighbors and you and like people you lived like live down the street and stuff like that. So it's, you move into that.
Might I add, a very camp essential remake for its time, like stuff like Bewitched is such a camp premise. Oh, you know what I mean?
Such a camp show.
That's such a contradiction in itself, isn't it? Like,
yeah. And then we kind of like shift into the '70s, and for some reason the '70s was the lesbian vampire boom. It was all literally all about like
super
lesbian,
sexualized super
sexualized. And then subtext became text. How like there was a shift, a major shift in kind of like you were seeing. You know, it was queerness was less about like you had to think about it, or this was representing the person's internalized gayness or whatever. It was more like, no, this person's gay. You know, they moved, you know, they then kind of moved them towards them, these queer characters being actual monsters. So they made them either lesbian vampires or like a lesbian werewolf or whatever. They made, rather than being like the reason why they, you know, there was very much the, they were now the monsters. These queer people were the monsters. These are the scary people. And also, you got to think the '70s birthed one of the queerest, gayest horror movies of all time, which is Rocky Horror Picture Show. That is one of the gayest. And it's, you know,
which I think in itself single-handedly exploded the expectation of what was allowed on screen.
Yeah,
I feel like it's glittered up and rolled about and fancy paper to be a musical. It's amazing as a musical, but you take those like songs away and nobody's going to watch that. But because they've done that in such a way and so exploitive and brilliant, that now it's literally gay legacy.
And it's spooky, it's scary, it's scary.
Boo, boo, bitch. A ghost. I'm a ghost, I go boo, bitch.
But you know, it's still in that genre. It's, you know, the even today, the one the gayest, campus, queerest.
It's a trans, essentially, cross-dressing character played by Tim Curry. Again, he's just absolutely iconic. There's, to this day, the music is still relevant.
Oh, yeah.
The characters are still relevant.
I still hear Sweet Transvestite, probably on a weekly basis.
Like, of course, stuff like, especially when you're dealing with...
Not my own choice, by the way. You know, like, I don't just listen to...
Completely, 100% wholeheartedly on repeat. The only song on Spotify. But it's the sort of thing that everything now, when they deal with, you know, cross-dressing characters or trans characters, they all age a certain way because now there's new terminology and new ways. Mm-hmm. But looking back at it, even for its time, it's still tasteful and to a certain extent compared to other things that come after it that deal with trans characters or cross-dressing 100%. That now, at the time, amazing twist or like, whoa, or like, you know, any just some sort of character that's there. But now when you look at it, you see the mistreatment of the matter itself.
But I also think as well, because it was a musical, I think that made it what it was as well. I think if it was just a film about a guy who wore like liaison lingerie and made a sex toy,
out of a man,
no one would be seeing that, and it would be on the cutting room floor, and no one would be seeing that.
Which
film
is a great idea.
So, I think because for the time, putting music into it was obviously the smartest.
Camps it up,
yeah, it was
because
the smartest
decision. Its audience. That's exactly who its audience is.
Yeah.
Now it's only till I know I'm jumping ahead, but I'll go back. But just only until now, they're now starting to make horror films that are solely and completely gay orientated. Now that was the first, I think, that I know of that really embraced queer language, queer life, and to a time when referring to it now as queer language, that would have been so fucking hurtful and offensive. That's how far we've gotten. But there's no denying that that has done something to musicals, you know, horror, spiffs in a sense, because it's even...
remakes, redos.
Literally, and just like kind of gay representation it's exuberant, it's extra as fuck, but that's what people needed back then.
Yeah.
People needed that. Like, that's the fun of it all. That's need the that whole, camp. That's, you just need the campness just of need it all. The gaze. Oh, you need the gaze. Yeah. Where would you be without fucking Rocky Horror Show, eh?
Well, smooth transition, but
smooth transition. Smooth transition. In Luke's house, 80s, doing podcasts.
Talking about podcast stuff.
Sweet transition.
Boobity boo. Do da da.
I loved that.
Now, now we're like sort of moving into the 80s, uh-huh. And obviously, you know, now that people are beginning to acknowledge that queer people exist because they have to because of the AIDS crisis,
yep.
You're starting to see that reflected more into the movies. You know, they, but now the gay, lesbian, trans characters were slotted in, but they were the murderers. They That's were up. The killers at this point. You know, like in films like Sleepaway
Camp, Angela, she's...
Yeah, Deadly Blessings, Dressed to Kill. I mean, it's just so on and so on. But like, yeah, like
Sleepaway Camp, I think, is the most prominent. Now, it's something that when I first seen it about 7-10 years ago, yeah. I'd say about 7, I remember the whole film was just a blah for me. But there was something about that ending. See, that film to me was like a 2. Do you see that ending? Really made it, and this is to this day, I don't care in what context you read it or look at it, it is one of the best slasher movie twists ever. Mm-hmm. Now, especially for the time, I could imagine. And if you're not like clued in, it's like when I watched it, I wasn't that clued in on you know, gay culture and stuff, and what's acceptable, what's not. Now that when you are and you educate yourself, you realize that the ending is in bad taste. But it is undeniably...
Well, this is the thing.
Still, it's just... It's mishandling of, like... You know, that was their way of introducing, as we said, properly. The 80s was, you know, exploitive. Mm-hmm. It's the first time they're introducing a character. But as you said, they weirdly used gay characters as killers.
Yeah. But the things that I didn't think... I didn't think they used... Because you only find out at the end that Angela is... Well, is... His body of a boy, no boy was born male. We don't know kind of in because it was the mum that kind of was playing mind games and, you know, orchestrated that whole thing and made her. So we don't know. The film doesn't tell you. We don't know if the character would have been trans anyway.
Because you get that flashback where he's a boy, don't you?
I got the impression from the film that it was the mum. It was the mum's sort of like mental health that kind of...
Oh, that's what it is.
She wanted to turn her... That she didn't get a daughter, so she wanted to turn one of her sons into a daughter.
Oh, that's what it is.
So at the end, when you find out that that Angela is trans, I particularly didn't feel like it was like... Because you only find out right then when the big reveal, so it's not, you don't know throughout the whole film. You wouldn't know if this little girl is trans. So, to me, watching it, but I'm not trans, so I don't have those experiences, but I didn't feel like they were using it and being derogatory with it.
Because
throughout the film, no one really talks about anyone.
So the thing
trans.
is like watching it, it's an amazing twist, and it still is, and it's something, as I said, it's definitely one of the most shocking twists that really, like, I wouldn't have remembered.
The face at the end, it's freaky.
I wouldn't have remembered a thing about that film without that twist. Mm-hmm. However, I'm saying for the time now, it doesn't age quite well because whilst revealing Angela's the killer, she's scary and she stood naked, so the shock is, of course, oh, she's a boy, she's been made, like, she's trans, now her mom's forced her to be trans, but it's the transition, it's the Western's transition, she's the killer, now she's crazy because her clothes are off and you can see she's a boy, you know, it's like that very, it's in that sense. Now, it's the way it's presented that doesn't age so well, because we're in a place now where everyone, and in a time now, everyone's so self-aware. But there is still no denying that that film was a rip-off of Friday the 13th, but done something that no slasher has ever done, which is really jaw on the floor. And it's not because, and this is what you said, it's not because she's trans.
No, it's not.
It's just a really like horrifying,
it's
because
it's the groan and it's her
face, and it's that shot that pans away and she stood there. And like,
it's like she's been like startled.
She's yeah, and like, she's just stood there covered in blood. And
yeah,
that shot where she's whole body naked, and from the neck down, it looks like a complete. And it's genuinely, it's really creepy. But and it's not because she's trying. It's the way. It's the music. The
yeah.
growl.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this quiet.
It's the physicality of the person. It's not. It's nothing to do with her being trans at all.
But that's why at this day and age, yeah. when. You don't appreciate if like any casual viewer that doesn't appreciate what it's done.
Because I was still
you can see how they might get their panties in a twist. Oh, 100%. Time.
Yeah.
I feel like when stuff comes on, like these days when people are now Generation Z are now getting offended by Friends because it's homophobic. I'm like, it's you have to remember the time. Not to mention. It's effective.
Yeah.
It's still effective.
Like I always say, you got to think about like at the time and what language was kind of around the community at that time. Because we have a completely different vocabulary and different language right now.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot more terminology that people are kind of getting used to than we're access to. So you can't really compare things from like 10, 20 years ago to things that are happening now. Because people weren't thinking it's that certain. We're not the general people that were putting things on TV or in films,
they
didn't have the language we have now. They didn't have the knowledge that we have now.
Yeah.
And you're talking about different things and you know. So,
and I don't think they had the awareness either. So
no.
I don't think the intention, for example, for Angela was let's make her trans. That's what's scary. That's not it. They just didn't. I think they looked for a shock value.
Yeah, I really do. I think if, even if she was a girl, even if she was just a cisgendered female or cisgendered male, it would still be scary because it's the face, it's the growl, it's the pose, it's everything about that very last shot. It's like I said, it's nothing to do with the
trans. Of course add because it's that shock value of it's the way the body. Do you know what I mean? And it's just like very hairy and it's like it's just a weird. It's because Angela's that quiet petite character. That you see what they present as barbaric. Do you know what I mean? That's what the mascontes can be because it's the growling. Her hair's all of a sudden frizzy. She's hairy or she's hairy fucking genitals. And like she stood there growling. So it's the fact that they wanted
it's
to
a
make
shock value,
a
yeah.
sweet girl turn into a barbaric character.
Yeah.
They didn't care how they done it.
Yeah.
That's what their effect and cause was. And it works. It works.
Yeah.
And I think that is in the midst of the 80s, as you said, where you've got them sort of villain characters being portrayed by LGBTQ+ characters or people.
Yeah, and then, you know, then we kind of move to the 90s where, you know, queer cinema kind of went through a very distinctive transformation where it was and a movement that was centered around actual, like, queer experiences without, like, you know, glamorizing the whole kind of community and culture, you know, and films were no longer like kind of like burdened by kind of like a needing approval of anyone of any audience.
Yeah, they could dance to the beat of their own drum, and you know, they'd find an audience.
Yeah, films could be both, you know, kind of like radical and extremely popular at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, we were kind of. You move into a very different sort of.
And the 90s is very, you know, self-expression.
Yeah.
It's very much that, like, that's what the 90s is about. Fashion, film, music. The 90s, essentially, especially for people our age, that's revolutionary. Like, what the 90s has done for films, what it's done for slashers. And as you said, what it's done for queer culture. Because anything the 90s after, it seems like the involvement is there, even if it is a character that's involved. It's not the main character, and it's a gay guy, gay female, and they fit into the stereotypical roles. Big fucking what?
Yeah.
All horror movies do that. They put every single person into a tiny little box because that's what they do, and it's like horror films need it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's very much more kind of like coming of age sort of stories as well. Those kind of telling those sort of stories in horror films.
Yeah.
That's the kind of vibe we're going at. And then we kind of move on to the noughties and, you know, 21st century, like, welcomed a much-needed change for queer cinema because, you know, we were out proud and loud and
of course
not going anywhere and you know. And now queer characters have started to become the actual protagonist without being the demon or the serial killer or the sexual deviant or even just sort of like the poor tragic victim. They were the front and center protagonist, you know, kind of like LGBTQ plus characters could go on a camping trip and all they've got to really worry about is just a psycho killer, like a maniac, not someone who's out there trying to punish sinners and you know what I mean, or like kind of
that's a fair point,
making actually. Trans people yeah. terrifying. Mm-hmm. You're kind of moving into sort of that territory where it's kind of like, no, we can be the focus of a horror film. You know, we can have these things happen to us and triumph, and
you can still have films like High Tension.
Yeah,
the main character is lesbian, and yes, it carries on, and it turns out that she's actually killer all along. But that's just because of it's at the heart of it is her obsession with her friend. Now it's like, in a sense, a tragic love story. It's got nothing to do with her obsession because she's lesbian. Mm. She's just obsessed with her friend.
Yeah.
Now, if you replace her with a male character, the film is still effective. It makes no difference. It's just we identify with her more because the queer elements, you know, right on the back of our expectations, that because she is a female, we assume, you know, she's harmless. She can't be the killer. Do you know what I mean? And then especially then because she's gay, because as you said, we move past that point where they're no longer that monstrosity or the killer that you're thinking, that's it. She's the final girl. That's it, of course. So they turn your expectations and go, well, here's it on you. It's got nothing to do with her being gay. She's just a fucking psychopath. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly.
She's just a psychopath.
Exactly that, you know. And then now we're kind of in the 2010s, nearly out of those. We're now in the, nearly in the 20s again.
2020. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, and like I think, and now sort of in the 2010s, you know, queerness is approached as more of like a simple character detail, and it's a very minor detail rather than like a monstrous effect or whatever.
It's now like essentially background, which is what you want. It's you are not being grabbed by the hand, made a point, and go, this character is gay.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to know the person on screen
and
he's either super camp, has a boyfriend, or does nothing but campy one-liners.
Which
is fine, and it is all accurate, because we do love a good campy one-liner, but now, in the 2010s, it's moved with the times, especially to the later back half.
You're showing those people who exist in the community and other people everyone's different. Everyone's just who they are. There's different people everywhere you go. You're not kind of seeing just one stereotypical person within the community. You're kind of seeing a broadened horizon. Yep. You know, and even at studio level, we've still got like there still aren't enough gays, lesbians, bisexuals, or enough like positive trans and gender queer characters. There's not enough, but we're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, and I personally think since especially in the 10s, maybe mid and above, there is such a vast improvement in it. In fact, it's as I said, I see that it's now becoming the normal in a sense where they're not really blinking an eye at it. And if they are and they're taking it on, they're handling it right.
Yeah.
For example, Assassination Nation.
Yeah.
Like the character of Bex, this trans. Now, the film brilliantly is not. It's brilliant anyway. It's so like subversive, and it's got the finger on the pulse of what life is right now.
Yeah, 100%.
It's unbelievable. But they have it down that her being trans is not an issue. She's one of the girls because she is one of the girls.
Exactly. And it's not overly explained.
No, but then
it's
you
not
get
constantly
that moment.
Talked about.
Yeah, and then you get that moment where it's brought up because she's having the moment like all the other girls, and she's getting in the room with the guy, and then it happens, and he notices, and then the film adapts to it and it takes it, and it's really. It shows you, like, barefaced. It shows you, like, to anyone that like is blinded by that this doesn't exist. Even its trail, not the trail, the start. Mm. Remember, you have the quick and all the words come up, and it's like toxic masculinity, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, and it's like racism, and all these things come up, and it shows you like clips, like it shows you exactly what reality is.
Exactly.
Now it's hyper exposed and it's overly saturated, but yeah, that's the whole point. It's a film. It has to be like that, and it's quite like, it's like a neon version of Purge.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
It's great and it's gorgeous. It's,
I liked it.
But it takes something that's so like, it's not an issue, but they adapt that into the story and show that today and this day and age, it is an issue.
Yeah.
So while she is every one of the girls, we're still going to point out to you that all them boys that are macho and toxic masculinity and all anything Laura Mulvey would have fucking told us, they're the ones to target her, and you get that redemption. You do, but films like that are so important.
Well, that's it. I think now we're in a sort of a period where we're really starting to see like who the like where the true horror lies. If you know, can we, you know, are imitating.
There we go. You're welcome.
I was about to say it again.
imitating
life. You know, yeah, we've kind of seen like who actually the real monsters are.
Yeah.
Like, and that's a good one because it really speaks to what's going on right now with you know, young sort of teens, mm-hmm, young adults, and mm-hmm, all the kind of shit they have to deal with. And
you do get films as well, like with the new It as well. They in a chapter two at the start, they take like a gay relationship, like mm-hmm, two guys, and then they're like beaten up. Sorry, tiny bit of spoiler, but not much. They use the start just to really like throw you in there. You're not watching a kids film no more, and we're going to show you this is serious.
I don't think the first one was a kids film.
Aye, but you know, like it's all like over the top, cheesy, pure 80s as fuck.
Yeah.
This, they're like, no, we're going to tell you how bad Derry is.
Yeah.
And Derry, not Londonderry. And we're going to show you what it looks like, and they have to do that by showing something that horrible. Now, watching it is so hard to watch. It feels clunky almost, like it just doesn't really fit in there. But that's the thing, we're still, yes, we're progressing, but we're still using things like that as a means of filler or just to get a shock, you know, to watch guys being beat up, being called a faggot, and like it's a really horrible scene to watch, and they're thrown in the river, and like they're just using that to exploit. Do you know what I mean? They're exploiting it. I think that. It's just they're exploiting it just for, you know, that really uncomfortable factor. And, like, I think I did like seeing it, weirdly. Not, like, but it was effective.
I think my opinion, I think if it's necessary to the film, because...
This doesn't even feel necessary.
Did it not? I mean, I think...
It's too adult.
I think if it feels necessary, I think, yeah, people should feel uncomfortable.
Because, oh, 100%. Because
this is still happening. Yeah,
of course.
100%. Feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, be. I hope you do sit in your seat if you're not, you know, mm-hmm, if you're not a part of the community. If you're straight,
yeah,
white.
Because then that's like.
I would like you to sit there and feel uncomfortable, thinking I don't want to watch this because that shit happens on a daily basis.
Yeah, because then that's the thing. You'd be in the cinema and most people be quiet, but you'll get those people. You know, when the two guys kiss, they're gonna go, oh, whoa. Because, you know, busy opening
like, night.
And
one state of fact, yeah, and so you're like, what are we doing here?
You'd rather it be at the place we are now, where it's just like one group of five people over like the whole cinema.
Yeah.
But that's just like, it's this thing. It was good to say it in a way where they're using it for an effective moment because they want us to feel how horrible this is, because this does still happen. But then I also think stuff like, and this is moving away from this, stuff like indirectly, it follows, and very, very pointed directly at American Horror Story, have done an amazing, amazing thing, and just progressing to a point where it was a gay show at the start.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's an everything show that everyone can watch. And American Horror Story is doing something for TV.
It's still very gay, though. It's still very gay. And that's what I love about it, because it's still essentially, like, it's tits. Still at the heart of it, just full of, like, juicy LGBTQ AA everything. Characters that are just so well done.
Yeah, and that's so well and it's done. Just there's no denying that fact. And even that's when, like, American Horror Story, I think, is the pinnacle and moving TV forward.
Sure.
We're getting stuff like Pose now. We're getting a lot more, you know, The Walking Dead will introduce, you know, a gay couple or some other TV show. Let's get included, so there'll be a gay couple and they'll be interraced. You know, now it's like, can see some of it as they don't actually give a fuck. They're just doing it because they want, you know, the mention.
I just don't like it when they have to feel the need to explain what's going on. You're like, I can see these two men are a couple. Yeah. You don't have to explain anything to me. Uh-huh. I can see it.
And also sometimes when you even see, you're like, oh, this is a gay couple on the show, but I've never seen them kiss once. But every other heterosexual couple that's on the screen will be full on naked, tits out, dicks out, tongue and fucking everything. They do everything. But gay couples barely even, like it's like the town that dreaded sundown.
Mm.
Every single character that gets killed are fucking, they're shagging. Because then the two boys barely even touch dicks and they're murdered.
It's because, unfortunately, to other members of society, we are seen as very hyper-sexualized. So a lot of the time, and more so like in the past, people would look at gay people and just immediately just think sex.
Uh-huh.
And
dirty.
Yeah, and that kind of, and yeah, and in the mindset of ignorant people, they don't want to see when they're at home with the family, they don't want to be reminded of sex when they're sat with their mom.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that's the kind of vibe you're getting?
Yeah.
So I think what films then tried to do was try the you know, or TV wanted to put gay people in there, but tried to make sure they weren't hypersexualized, because as soon as you see two men kiss on a much more TV, like, you get so many complaints and it's like, get over it.
Honestly, just if that's what you're worried about, like, for example, just before now we close up, because we have been doing this a long time.
Oh, wow.
When we were walking, I was walking to Pride, like, to the village, and I was going through, you know, Manchester City Centre, and there was a man walking with the biggest fucking poster on a stick, shit on a stick, just saying a Jesus quote and saying how, you know, people are going to burn. And I thought to myself, you have prepared this board, all right? Signboard, you've prepared this, you've laminated the paper, you've gone, you know, A1 slices, and you have woke up extra early this morning, got your speakers ready so you could blast stuff, got your microphone ready, made sure everything was charged, made sure that poster was sorted, and you've come to City Centre to walk around and do what? You need to stop worrying about if you're worrying about someone else, you have too much time on your hands and you've got a concern. You should be worrying about yourself. You shouldn't. He did everything he could to go out of his way to stop something that does not concern him in the absolute slightest.
And that's it. They're all about, like, preaching love, but then, like, what they're doing is just hate.
The opposite.
It's hate speech. Like,
you can still have
you're doing the exact, you're doing the opposite. And you also had so many chances throughout that day to stop and go, do you know what? I don't need to put this hate speech out there. You had several, like, opportunities to not laminate your board, not write the sign.
But you went wholeheartedly and thought this is the best decision. You can still have faith in religion and not adapt all that bullshit.
Sure. Well, we'll see who goes to heaven.
Yeah. Well, and listen, we've all seen that video of RuPaul when it's like all the gays when they get down to hell and he realizes that his dick are out, and it's like RuPaul walking onto the set of his own show and he's like, oh, even if Arnold's gonna be lifting,
we'll do some major redecorating. Oh,
hopefully they've been down there a long time now. They've already redecorated. Can't wait. Right, I think
it's time to go bye bye.
Time to go bye bye. We've got responsibilities in the morning.
Sure thing.
Unfortunately, sure thing. Unfortunately.
Well,
but I enjoyed that.
Me too.
I did.
Yeah.
Stop my gay stuff more often. Like, we're doing already.
Well, until next time.
All the best, guys.
Bye-bye.
Deuces.